KWOSCenter.com.
Welcome to KWOS Open Air Saturday with Hal Dooley on News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5.
Good morning, everybody. Rick Combs here sitting in for the Corporal Hal Dooley, who's somewhere in Sturgis or maybe the Badlands, just kind of hanging out in Sturgis in South Dakota. And hi to Hal if he's listening out there. And as I said, Rick Combs, a Saturday morning open air on KWOS. Hope we have a real good show for you today. We're ready to go, and we're ready to start off with a local resident a lot of people might know, one Vic Rackers. Vic, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Great to be with you.
It's great having you on, brother. How's everything going today?
Doing well. Been up early, got the chores done on the farm, bought a few new cows this week, and had to go down and check them, make sure they were still where they were supposed to be, got the dogs fed, and ready to have a nice visit with you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a good way to start out a day every day. Vic owns a farm here in the county and is retired from the state. Vic, tell the audience a little bit about you and your life.
My wife and I live on the east side of Jeff City out in the county. We have a nice little farm out here, and I think we've raised three pretty good kids. We're both retired engineers from the state of Missouri, and I just try to stay active in local politics and try to be a good citizen. We have our son's in the Air Force and flying for the Air Force, and our son-in-law is in the Navy. He's flying for the Navy, and then our daughter, which we're lucky to have, stayed locally, and she has her two grandkids with her husband, and the grandkids are the joy of our life right now. So
beautiful children. You and Eileen are blessed, I'm telling you.
Things are pretty good.
Now, you retired from DNR, is that correct?
Yes. Yep. I was doing coal mine land reclamation at the end of my career, reclaiming all coal mine things that had been left in a sort of a sorry state around the state, and where the up around Moberly and down the southwest Missouri. It's basically turning it back into something usable from when the coal mine companies just left it in a pile of debris back before the law was passed in the early 70s that they had to reclaim themselves.
I understand. Tell us real quick some challenges for DNR these days.
Funding, apparently. Funding, you know, I noticed in the paper the other day, it looked like all other departments' funding had gone up substantially, and some unbelievably high. But as I recall, the DNR's funding, if I'm going by memory, had been cut by 1.5%. So I would say that's the main challenge.
Okay. I'll tell you what, as we're talking about state funding and all that, give us your perspective on the state budget. I think, what is it, $35, $36 billion now? What do you think about that?
It appears that it's growing out of control every year. I'm a conservative Republican, and I would much rather see government live within their means and make do with what they have instead of continuing to attempt to squeeze more out of the public every year. But government, I see government is just like everything else. It wants to grow. If it stays stagnant with the same amount of funding every year, well, that's not looked as being successful, and it's not growing programs. But in my perspective, we don't need government. That's not one of the things we need to grow. We need business, and we need opportunity and prosperity to grow, and not government.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I'd like to see the number of jobs grow in Missouri and the population grow a little bit, as to see the state budget continue to escalate.
But absolutely.
I think you agree with me on that. There's a whole lot of fat in every budget that they could cut every year, and both at a state and local levels, there's opportunities to always trim the fat, correct?
Without a doubt. I agree.
Yeah. So, what's going on the Racker's farm these days? You said you've got some new cattle in there. What breed did you get?
Black Angus.
Black Angus. Are they pretty?
Yeah, that seems to be the most popular breed at the sale barn. For some reason, they like that meat that comes off of a Black Angus better than a Hereford or a Red Angus or anything like that. It's really hard to figure out, but
it's a fantastic
like
marketing gig, right?
Pardon?
Fantastic marketing gig, right?
Oh yeah. So, but yeah, it's not hard to turn a little profit, but it's a hobby that keeps us busy these days.
Oh, I understand that. Well, that's a good thing to stay out there. Now, as you're retired, one of the things I found out as I retired about 15 years ago, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a man of leisure, but I'm busier now than I ever was on active duty.
Oh yeah, we don't lack. We never get up and wonder what we're going to do. We don't lack for anything to do. There's always some fence to build, some garden to work in, some a rental house to repair, some grandkids to take care of. And we try to stay active in local organizations. That's also keeping us busy.
Oh, that's an excellent thing. But I'll tell you something. I'm going to take a second to brag on your grandbabies. They're beautiful. I know it's you know, people hear that from the grandmother and the grandfather, but I'll tell you, as a third party looking in, those kids are wonderful.
Yeah, we sure appreciate that, and our daughter Jill and Austin are doing a great job with them, it appears. So
I think they take after their grandmother, but I don't know. That's just my
opinion. that's not all bad either. They get to spend a lot of time with her.
Oh me. Well, I tell you what, we've got to go pay some bills now, and we're going to go to break. Can you hang around for another segment?
I sure can, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you, Vic. You're listening to Saturday Morning Open Air, KWOS.
Are in debt to the IRS? This is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-909-8122. 800-909-8122. 800-909-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Steve's Pest Control Brown Recluse movie trailer, review number one. Bring in the Brown Recluse.
They creep, they crawl, they hide, lying in wait for their next meal.
Actually, we hunt at night. I'm getting my steps in here, bud.
A spider so terrifying, the Brown Recluse.
Actually, recluse is kind of a word that's a bit judgy, you know? I mean, would you come out of your house if everyone else was 800 times your size? I don't think so.
They can survive 10 months with no food or water.
Technically, but I'm telling you, month two, month three, I start to get very, very thirsty.
Coming to theaters this fall, Recluse on the Loose. Rated R for Recluse.
That's the joke, really? Seriously?
Liam Neeson stars in his defining role as Steve from Steve's Pest Control.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control, and I have a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. I'm a nightmare for spiders like you. I will find you, and I will eliminate you. I guarantee it.
I want my teenage son to be thinking how to deal with life's stresses and natural changes. I want to know how to talk to him about things he'll experience as he builds relationships. I want him to know I'm there for him. I just don't know how.
Here is a resource that can get you started. Connect with Me activity cards have been developed to help begin the discussions. Visit health.mo.gov/connect to access these free cards and other resources.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
This is John
and Wes,
your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor.
There's just no point in beating around the bush, right, Wes?
Well, okay then, John. I think you're weird.
What? No. I mean, don't beat around the bush when you can run right through it with a Bush Hog rotary cutter.
Oh, right. Bush Hog is ideal for food plotting.
Wait, do you think I'm weird?
Hey, look over there. Ain't that a Bush Hog?
Where?
Rosebud Tractor, your tractor guys in Lynn, Rosebud, Missouri. RosebudTractor.com.
Hey, get back here, Wes.
KWOS Saturday Open Air with Hal Dooley and the whole crew.
Good morning, everybody. Rick Combs here for Saturday Morning Open Air, sitting in for Hal Dooley, who's somewhere out west. I think Sturgis, maybe a super spreader event. I don't know. They were talking about 750,000 bikers out at Sturgis, so that's a large event. Our guest today, Vic Rackers, a local farmer, and retiree and political activist. How you doing today, Vic? You still hanging in there? Good.
I'm doing well, Rick. As you mentioned, I was wanting to talk about our next Cole County Republican meeting that we have coming up on August 19th.
August 19th. That's a Thursday, right?
We meet the third Thursday of every month, and it's a group of local concerned citizens that we get together and talk about the events of the day, and then we have always try to have a good guest speaker. And our speaker this month is the Honorable Judge Brian Stumpy, who is at the circuit level, I believe, here in the county, and is a good citizen with a great family, lives out on the east side, and we look forward to having him come visit with us.
Outstanding.
That'll be at Bones Meeting Room on Thursday, August 19th, starting at 6 o'clock. If anybody would like to come out and join us.
6 o'clock Thursday. It's the Cole County Republican Club. And I've been to many of those meetings. So are you an officer with the Republican Club these days?
Yes, I've been the treasurer for several years now.
So. Okay, excellent, excellent.
We'd love to have you back again, Rick.
Oh, I'm going to make another appearance here pretty soon.
All right.
Might be that Thursday. You never know.
That'd be wonderful.
Good deal.
I'd like to mention that, like I said, we have guest speakers and on relevant topics, and our speaker last month was Mary Byrne. Are you familiar with Mary Byrne and what her main emphasis is lately?
Yes. Could you go ahead and expound on that a little bit for the audience?
That is CRT, which some people call create racial tension, but then the proponents call it critical race theory. But in reality, and there's a group of us that have been getting together that are very concerned about the goals of CRT and it being taught in our local schools and pushed by the federal government, and it is in opposition to everything that our country was founded on and that has made us successful, and it threatens our future, really. It's based on Marxism, division, and it is in opposition to what Martin Luther King says, as we should all be judged by the content of our character and not the color of our skin. And it's also in opposition to the great melting pot that our country has always been and has made us successful. It pits all other minorities, all other racial groups against white people. And we just can't see that there's any good thing to come out of that. It's just going to create more racial tension and divide our country. It would just be a lot better if we could all get along and just judge each other by the content of our character and look at and be in a, live in a colorblind society. So that's what we're working towards, and we plan to get a speaker together, maybe Mary Byrne, maybe someone else, and be inviting the general public to an event like that sometime in the near future.
Outstanding, outstanding. That said, do you see the governor or our legislature actually doing something about critical race theory being taught in our schools?
Possibly. There's a lot of good conservatives over in the Capitol, but unfortunately, they are overruled by some other Republicans that are not as conservative, and doesn't appear that they get as much done over there as that they possibly could for, you know, on the conservative agenda that I would like to see, like voter ID, and you know, they did finally pass the Second Amendment Protection Act, but there's a lot they could accomplish, a lot more, and they could stand up a lot more strongly, like in states like Florida, Texas, you know, Arkansas, I believe, and then in the South Dakota. There's a lot more things that they could be doing to oppose the liberal Democrat agenda, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a whole lot of sandbagging going along up in that Capitol. One of the things that that struck me is the other day, the Tennessee legislature pushed through a bill that prohibits critical race theory and actually gets detailed into the elements of it, and it was signed by their governor. I would certainly point to that as being a nice model if our legislators wanted to do something along those lines. What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe there's at least a dozen states now that have passed legislation in opposition to CRT, and I hope our legislature gets in the act. I believe Sarah Walsh is interested in sponsoring a bill that would oppose CRT, and I assume most people know that she is not doing real well right now, and her husband, and I'd like to ask everyone to keep her in her thoughts and prayers as she recovers from what's the illness that's affecting her right now. So
absolutely, and we will all do that.
She's great. I mean, she's great. She's a great conservative, and I think we can rely on her to stay strong and stay faithful to her beliefs, because that's how she grew up. And hopefully, if she makes it to Congress, she will stand fast to her local beliefs and represent us well in Washington.
Absolutely. Well, as we're talking about that. And the different aspects of state government and all that. Perhaps we could encourage the listeners out there to contact their representatives and their state senators about CRT and voice their concerns with them. That never hurts, does it?
Absolutely. But more, I would recommend on the local level, our local school board. There's several of us that don't absolutely trust the local school board, Jefferson City School Board, and there are mainly the administration that, you know, we gave them a huge tax increase several years ago, and, but they just don't seem like they are open to the concerns of local citizens. You know, some of us went to the school board in the last couple of months, and they really don't want to hear from the public. They don't want to, they try to limit public input so greatly that their rules are so stringent. They do not broadcast any public input over the live stream. So it's just like, you know, they just sort of put their hand up, just as if you've been watching any of these other school boards around the country that have been in the news, and they run up and take the mic away and stuff like that. So they just don't seem very open to the concerns of the local community. You know, our community is very conservative. Look at the votes for in the elections. You know, it goes 70% one way, but it seems like our school board is probably 70% the other way at the least. So I'd like to see them be more open to the concerns of the local community that funds them.
And we probably need to encourage people to go out and attend these school board meetings, and I know those are posted. Those are open meetings, aren't they?
Yes, I believe the next one is August 16th. Don't quote me on that. I thought I had it written down here. But yes, and also talk to their local school board members. I mean, anyone they know, just to let them know that what their concerns are and that they're concerned about what is possibly going to be taught and the curriculum in our local schools. Look, there was recently a 85 somewhere around 85 members of the local teachers, administrators, everything that went to some training. That was $1,000 a piece that it was put on by Franklin Covey that covered a lot of things like meritocracy, CRT, and other things like that. So, but the school board says, and the administration saying CRT is not going to be taught, but, you know, those things don't really, they don't really add up. If you're teaching, if you're sending people to learn about teaching it, so it makes you sort of suspicious about whether, what their agenda is and what is actually being taught.
And one would think if you're being taught how to teach it, that even if it's not a formal class or a setting, perhaps the teachers could just provide their own opinions, which provides basically the same result, doesn't it?
Exactly. And if you know what political philosophy your teacher has, then your teacher's doing you a disservice. You know, you shouldn't know the political philosophy of your teacher. You know, the teacher should be nonpartisan and there to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic and history. I don't believe our history is being taught. My little brother, and I'm active in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, and the other day we went to the Capitol, and there was an event outside, and then we had some time on our hands, and we decided to walk in the Capitol, and we started looking around, and I just started asking him a few questions about history and what he knew, and what he knew about when our country was founded and where we got our independence from and things. And he had no idea. I mean, he was an eighth grader, and you would think these things would be taught, and you know, it would be just common knowledge to everyone. But he didn't have any idea. So we tried to hit the basics. But I was an eighth grader with a good student, a smart young man, would think those things would be known. And if people and students don't know the history of our country, how can they love our country, and how can they, you know, have any allegiance to it if they don't know what it is and what a great country and how we were founded? So that was definitely a concern.
Amen to that. Vic, we got to get ready to go take our break and pay some bills. One more time on the Cole County Republican Club when you guys are meeting.
Thursday, August 19th at the Bones Meeting Room at 6 o'clock. And a couple other things I was wanting to mention today is, you played earlier, just encourage everyone to go out to support the Gold Star Family Monument dedication. And there's a Medal of Honor speaker at 11 o'clock. I won't be able to make it because I'm going to be splitting wood with a buddy of mine that has a wood processor. But I encourage everyone to go out there. And then on Monday, they're dedicating the Bicentennial Bridge. And then on September 18th, we've been active in the Cole County Bicentennial, and we are going to have, there's going to be a parade in Jefferson City, and we will be having a float and mules and horses, and should be a good time. That's on September 18th.
Saturday. Outstanding. Thank you, Vic Rackers, for joining us this morning. We'll be back in just a minute at KWOS Open Air Saturday morning. Saturday morning Open Air. AWS.
Before the sun comes up and long after it sets, ABC 17 News and Storm Track Weather keep working for you, gathering the information your family needs to take on the day, alerting you to breaking news and health and safety concerns in our area, plus tracking the latest weather conditions to help you plan ahead. It's everything you need to know from the team you trust most. ABC 17 News and Storm Track Weather, where the news comes first.
We overlook a lot in a lifetime. While some things seem small at first, it's the little things that make a big difference. Like Robert's Drugstore. They're just an old-fashioned local pharmacy. Get the benefits of free delivery, complimentary homemade baked goods, and real relationships with the staff. Don't overlook the little things. Shop local and experience the Robert's difference. Home of Jefferson City Magazine's best pharmacist, Kim Roberts. Robert's Drugstore, RX.com.
Save now on compact and utility tractors during the Massey Ferguson sales event at Tompkins Implement. Designed with performance in mind, These versatile tractors are made to boost your productivity and outperform the competition. And now you'll get 0% financing for up to 84 months on Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Don't forget to ask about their 10-year warranty, too. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Visit Tompkins Implement, Highway 52 West in Eldon, or go to TompkinsImplement.com.
Option one, low premium, low deductible, lots of coverage.
Well, that sounds good.
Option two, high premium, high deductible, low coverage.
Okay, so what do you recommend?
Option two.
Really? But option one sounded better.
Quite right. But the option two insurance company belongs to my father-in-law.
This is Rick Prather with Vogel Insurance Group. Vogel Insurance Group has no exclusive relationship with any one insurance company. We work for and represent you.
Vogel Insurance Group.
Through the years, through good times and tough times, you learn to be resourceful, work hard, be independent. Nothing was easy, but it made you strong. You never asked for help, and you don't want to start now. Let Handyman Solutions ensure your safety and independence where you live so you don't have to, with the best quality home accessibility solutions the industry has to offer. You don't have to make do anymore. You've already paid your dues. You deserve to be safe at home. HandymanSolutions.org.
Attention! Corporal Dooley is in the building on KWOS.
Good morning, everybody. Rick Combs sitting in for the Corporal Hal Dooley, who's sitting out in Sturgis. Probably, he might still be in bed. I don't know, but good to have you with us this morning. Before we go any further, we do have a guest, Mark Sheppers, local businessman and political activist here locally in the county. But before we go any further, Kathleen, our board operator, wants to talk to us a little bit about St. Peter's and their anniversary, right?
That's right. Thank you so very much, Rick, and it's always great to have you here in the studio. St. Peter Church, the church that's directly across from the Capitol, is having their 175th anniversary on Friday, October 13th. And they've got lots of activities planned. Broadway Street will be closed between High Street and Main Street, where we'll have several food trucks, such as Rebel Tacos will be there, and Ready Popped Popcorn, The Big Cheese, Pizza Quick, and RJ's Ice Cream, Italian Ice, and Flywheel Ice Cream will be there to provide everybody for their food needs. There will also be a beer garden that will be selling all sorts of variety of beers, and also margaritas and pina coladas. There also will be a huge kids zone with many inflatable games for the kids to play, with a 72-foot obstacle course, bounce castle, and many other games. We'll also be having Apostles Creek. We'll be playing from 5 to 7, and Dave Baker will be playing from 7 to 9. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a huge fireworks display. So if anybody has concerns about noise at 9 p.m., don't be calling the fire department or police. You're hearing wonderful fireworks from our huge celebration that goes from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And thank you so very much, and hope to see everybody out there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kathleen. That sounds like a good time. I think some of our listeners out there are going to be sitting over there on October 13th, right?
I hope so.
Good deal. Without further ado, Mark Sheppers, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Rick. It's great to be here. Last time I was here, I really had a good time, and from 8:30 to 9 o'clock went fast.
Well, we tried to solve a few of the world's problems in just a few minutes, didn't we?
Yeah, it sure does.
We seem to do that.
Yeah.
If people would just listen to us, wouldn't it be a better world?
Oh, no kidding. We'd solve everything in, well, half hour.
That's true. What are you focusing on today?
Oh, what's on the schedule today?
What's on your radar today?
Oh, I don't know. Just kind of Saturday, getting ready. I'm having three of my kids over tonight for dinner.
Nice.
No, well, two of them over.
Yeah.
And you know, for barbecue, and throw some brats and hamburgers on the grill, and just kind of kick back and relax a little bit.
It's summertime, right? Dog days?
Dog days of summer, that's right.
There you have it. There
yeah.
you have it. Let's talk a little bit about the state. We'll talk about, since you're on the Republican Central Committee, any big things going on with the Republican Central Committee these days?
Real quiet. We got a meeting Tuesday night, but
And is that open to the public?
You know, we had our Lincoln Days back in June, and it turned out to be a pretty good turnout.
Good deal. Are those meetings, are they still open to the public?
Oh, kind of. You need to call somebody to see, you know, if they got something they need to talk about. It's anybody coming to our meeting, especially, you'd like to say, it's kind of the dog days of committee meetings right now.
I'm telling you, kind of a quiet spot.
It's a quiet spot. We'll get kind of a review of how we did on Lincoln Days, but...
That was pretty well attended, wasn't it?
It's pretty well attended considering the situation. You know, normally we have it on President's Day back in February, and I'm trying to think who we... We normally get a big speaker in, and I'm going to be real honest with you. I kind of forgot who we had as speaker. I'm showing my age right now. But it was a nice turnout. Oh, I remember now. Yeah. Rush Limbaugh's cousin was up. We talked about this last time, and they brought he brought some of four of Rush Limbaugh's cigars from his humidor.
For the auction, right?
For the auction.
Nice.
Oh, they brought crazy money. I mean,
real nice.
Yeah, you know, $1,500 for a cigar, and that was kind of the average price. It was crazy. I mean,
what are your thoughts on that $1.2 trillion so-called infrastructure bill they're trying to push through now? 2,700 pages.
You know, you can hide a lot of sins on one page, and they got 2,700 of them.
Yeah.
You know, you see on the press, well, it's going to fix the highways and the roads and bridges and airports, and we desperately need that. I mean, you know, I-70 is just band-aided together, and it's way too small for the traffic that's on it. You know, we need that fix. Is there any money in there to fix that? I'll be quite honest with you, I doubt it, because I haven't heard any, you know, we haven't heard any rumblings around town or highway department that, oh, we're getting this money, here goes, you know, because that's going to be a major project.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing some horror stories about people that are reviewing it. I doubt that any of our congressmen have read the bill.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to hear some horror stories leak out about some Green New Deal type things. And I think there's a clause, I believe, don't quote me on that, but I believe there's a clause in there in a $1.2 trillion package that allows the government to monitor your mileage
right.
for a potential mileage tax in the future.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty ominous right there. I mean, you're already paying a gas tax. Now we're going to start paying a mileage tax as well?
Right. Well, you know, all these electric cars, you know, our fearless leader, Joe Biden, has declared that by 2030, half the cars on the road be electric, or half the new cars sold be electric.
And what gives him the authority to do that? Isn't that a private business, automakers?
No, that's just it. He makes these fancy decrees, and it looks good for his, you know, environmentalist loonies on the left and all that, but they're saying that, well, they can't make it. You know, he can't make them do that, but, boy, the auto companies are... Boy, they're willing to fall in line behind all that.
Yeah. And if our power grid goes down, everybody's just on foot, right?
That's bad.
Everybody but the Amish.
Yeah, everybody but the Amish. That's
yeah,
right.
The Amish should be doing okay. They don't care if it's gas or electric, right?
Yeah. That's crazy. And, you know, Elon Musk, he's the one he put, you know, he's Mr. Tesla, you know, that and space travel.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked him about it. What if every car in the United States was electric? And he said it would be physically impossible to do it because the electric grid couldn't even begin to handle.
Well,
the power surge.
You see, in California now, they're having not only the wildfires and the drought, and they're having difficulties out there. They've been having the rolling brownouts. They're telling people that have electric vehicles to hold off on charging their vehicles every other day or every third day or whatever. So, I mean, it's a mess.
Well, you're going to have people on foot out in California.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. You know, they talk like, well, you can go 300 miles with these new batteries and stuff. Well, you know, every once in a while, the wife and I like to go to Florida and we drive.
Yeah.
you know, it'd probably add an extra day to get down there because you're every 300 miles, because where we go is 900 miles.
Do we even have electric charging stations in Jefferson City? I'm not aware of any of them.
I'm not either.
You know, so if you've got an electric vehicle, are you just charging up at home?
Yeah, you charge it up at home. They get special plugs you plug into a wall. I imagine it's probably a I'm guessing. See, I don't know. I'm guessing it's probably a special 220 outlet that you plug into.
I see.
Yeah, you know, electric car around town, I guess, you know, it'd be fine. You know, it's, I just think of, you know, electric car. I can remember, you know, these little electric toys and, you know, things you with remote control you run around on, and it's, you know, that's...
Well, and it, you know, something I wasn't aware of, we were going out to Colorado a number of years back, and that's the first time I saw... near the Kansas-Colorado line, I saw some charging stations, and I'd never seen them before.
Yeah.
And I looked at that, and people were charging it up and going into a restaurant, and I was thinking, what the heck? And then I found out it takes 40 to 45 minutes to charge up your vehicle.
Right.
So you've got to do something in the meantime while your vehicle's charging up, and... You know, I hate to say it, but gas or diesel, you fill up, you can go in and get a drink, use the restroom or whatever, and be on your way. But
right.
If you've got to wait 40 or 45 minutes, you might as well go get a meal somewhere.
I guess, but the thing about it is do you want to spend your vacation on the road charging your car up or on the beach or you know, in the mountains or something like that?
But you're saving the planet. Come on, Mark.
Yeah, right. Well, you got to do something to charge it up, and I guarantee you, solar and wind isn't going to cover our power grid. And
yeah.
And like I say, the environmentalists on the left, they, you know, the great mortal sin is nuclear power, and I guess a greater mortal sin is oil. But
yeah, well, now our electric at our house comes from a coal-fired plant.
That's right.
So if I charge up an electric car, coal is charging my car.
Yeah, you got to burn all that coal to charge your car up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting world we live in, and I love the way they interpose global warming with climate change. I tell people climate change is nothing new. The world's climate has been changing by, you know, sometimes leaps and bounds and by degrees for years and years and years and millennia. And they just don't want to use the term global warming. Hey, Mark, we've got to go pay a few bills. Can you stay one more segment?
Well, I sure can.
All right. You're listening to Saturday Morning Open Air. Rick Combs sitting in for the Corporal Hal Dooley. We'll be right back.
It's just human nature to love shiny things. As long as there have been people, shiny things have held special status, and the shinier the better. Like a brand new car or a truck on the lot, every inch of it perfectly contoured, clean, and reflective. Over time, as that beautiful new car starts to collect dents, scratches, and loses its shine, you can always get it cleaned and polished again, just like a piece of jewelry. But when your car gets banged up in an accident, getting that shine back becomes the least of your worries. This is Gary with Extreme Body and Paint. Whether your car has minor or major damage you want fixed, not only do we fix it right and make the process easy and stress-free as possible, nobody makes your car look newer and shine brighter than the Extreme Team at Extreme Body and Paint. We are now located under one roof at 1007 Lomo Drive, Jefferson City, Missouri, or online at extremebodyandpaint.com.
We make it shine like new with Extreme Body and Paint.
Take Heart Radio. Here's Dr. Monty Schenkel.
Now I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to read these 9 verses. And listen, all this is so full of hope. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, I'm 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's up on the screen. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You know better than that. You are all the children of light and the children of the day.
To hear more messages from Take Heart Radio, visit us online at concordjc.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael Wine with Missouri Vein Care. At the end of the day, do you put your legs up because they ache and throb, and after 15 minutes struggle to get moving because you're exhausted? Well, that's not normal, and it's highly likely that you have a vein circulation problem but don't know it. We've helped thousands with vein conditions, and you too can get relief from leg aching and fatigue. To get started, schedule your free vein screen at MissouriVeinCare.com. Let's get you back to normal.
Take a back road to St. Thomas the Apostle Parish Picnic in St. Thomas happening Sunday, August 15th. Fried chicken and roast beef dinners will be served from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Stop by the quilt auction at 5 p.m. Get in on the grand raffle for a chance to win $1,000 in cash, all while enjoying live music. Drive-through and carryouts are available. Please practice responsible social distancing. Don't miss the St. Thomas the Apostle Picnic Sunday, August 16th. Brought to you by AirServe Heating and Air Conditioning.
Catching you up on all things Jefferson City. It's Hal Dooley on KWOS.
Good morning, everybody. Rick Combs sitting in for the Corporal Hal Dooley, KWOS, Saturday morning open air. We're talking with Mark Sheppers, a local small businessman here in town, and political activist. Are you a community activist, Mark?
No, not so much anymore.
Okay, that's got kind of a bad connotation to it, doesn't it? Community activist.
Community activist. Yeah, it sounds like somebody out there stirring up trouble.
It worked for Obama and for that representative in St. Louis, Cori Bush, didn't it?
Oh, boy.
Community activist.
Community activist. Man, is she ever a nightmare. Holy smokes. Yeah, she got on TV and made a man, you know, she just saved the Republican Party who knows how many millions of dollars generating ads to run against them next election.
She made a total fool out of herself.
She made a total fool of herself.
She's not the only one on the left that does that, for sure.
Yeah, she thinks she's so special that she's got to have her own personal protection around her to protect her body. As
she's doing the work of the people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I hear you. Hey, locally, let's talk local a little bit.
Yeah.
I know for mayor, Ron Fitzwater has announced he's going to be running for mayor next year. And have you heard anything else through the grapevine? Anybody that might run for mayor next year?
No,
any
I haven't.
City council seats?
I don't live in town, so I don't. You know, I'm not real close to the local stuff. I think Ron Fitzwater would make an outstanding mayor,
Well, go ahead.
When he took over the county committee, we were just a local committee. People get together and just try to raise a few bucks here and there. And when he came in and took over the committee, he just turned it completely around. I mean, we're just, you know, basically as a political committee, we're kind of a power to be reckoned with here in town because we're able to, you know, go out and find quality candidates if we need to and help finance them, you know, to run for, local elections and stuff. So
that's a big help.
That is a big help, yeah.
Having been a candidate, I know getting support and getting some type of financial donation is a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, boy, is it ever. Yeah, you know that better than I did, you know, because I helped on your one campaign and,
yeah,
you know.
And I do appreciate that. That was much, much appreciated.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the state here what time we've got left. State Senate race. I think there are 16 that have declared, 9 Republicans. Or 8 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and some individual that's independent. What's your take on that? That's declared now.
That's declared.
Because filing is next year, obviously.
Filing. Oh, okay. I really don't know who's running. I'm a local community, you know, Republican activist, but we haven't heard much. I haven't. I don't know. You mean the local state senate race?
No, from Missouri, U.S. Senate.
Oh, U.S. Senate.
Yeah, I'm sorry, U.S. Senate.
Oh, okay. Oh, gee, many Christmas. That's crazy. And I can see why all these people are getting involved, because if they can build up enough constituency, they might just win the nomination. You know, I think, you know, Vicky Hartzler jumped in, and, you know, started off with Greitens and Schmidt. They're the two, those are the two headliners, and McCloskey, he's gotten in.
Billy Long now?
Billy Long, and,
your opinion, Jason Smith, do you think he'll jump in as well?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. The only thing is, it's going to take some name recognition to win this thing, and I don't know the, I think the polling shows Schmidt with an edge, but boy, we got an open primary, and Democrats could jump into this thing, and they might get in and vote for Greitens, and next thing you know, as soon as he's the nomination, they'll probably try and dig up some dirt on him, and here we go, another, we got another Aiken situation, and where the actually the person who would make a good senator is that's on the sidelines watching what the heck happened to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
that's the only thing. That's the thing that worries me. It's, you know,
open primaries. Do you foresee, is there any talk through the Central Committee? I know there was talk in the past about trying to close the primaries and declare party membership,
right?
Or register for parties,
right?
How do you see that working out? Is there still talk about that, or
we talk about it all the time, and we're just realizing we're just, you know, we're trying to paddle up the Colorado River. I mean, there's so much. There are different committees I know around the state would like to close it up, but I don't know, maybe there's too many rhinos in the party that decide, no, let's just keep it open so everybody can participate. Well, you know, they can participate in the general election. This is our party and our nominee, and we should be picking our own nominee and not let some outside, you know, some party who, you know, an outside people who would like to do us harm get involved and help pick our candidate.
Well, I personally know Democrats who vote in Republican primaries here.
Yeah,
local and local and state. So
right.
You know, I know it's done.
Yeah,
and I haven't fully developed an opinion on closed or open primaries, but most states I've lived in, they had closed primaries.
Right.
So,
yeah, and then we can and then let Republicans fight it out, and we find that, and we pick the good, and we pick the best one.
Right.
And chances are Schmidt would probably be the nominee. But, you know, Vicky Hartzler, you know, from what I understand, she's a pretty popular congresswoman, you know, in the area. She used to be here, but now she's...
not in Cole County anymore.
Not in Cole County anymore.
Yeah, used to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for that perspective. It's just going to be a dogfight with a big bunch of people on the ballot.
Right.
And so... If somebody can pull out about 30%, they probably win.
They probably would win. Yeah, somebody pulls 30%, 30% of the vote, they'll win.
Yeah, or 25 or whatever. So,
yeah.
Okay, who do you see on the Democrat side? Any ideas? I heard Jay Nixon was thinking about running, and he came out publicly and said no.
Yeah, I believe it or not. Well, I don't know. To me, I don't think he was all that popular of a governor, but. The thing about it is he would have a lot of strong support across the state. If he would have got in, then I would be starting to worry, because then we would have to have a candidate with statewide recognition, and it would probably take President Trump come into the state and campaign for him, because Jay Nixon would not be easy to beat. Now, why he decided not, I don't know, maybe he figured, reading the tea leaves, what's going on with the Democrats in the country, he probably figured, I don't want to get anywhere near this.
Probably so. But he did win election, and in 2012 won re-election.
That's right.
When Mitt Romney won the state big in the presidential.
Yeah.
I don't think you could overlook Jay Nixon.
Right.
I'm not a fan of his, never was. But,
no, I'm not either.
By any stretch, but he did win re-election when the Republicans won big in 2012 throughout the state.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
But you never take an opponent lightly, right?
No, you never take any opponent lightly because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, when Greitens won the nomination for governor back then, I thought, oh, no. But President Trump won the state, you know, Donald Trump won the state big, and there was a lot of coattails. And
I think, Eric Greitens got it, won by 5 points, I think, something like that.
Did he? They called the race early.
Yeah, Trump won by 17 across the state.
He won by 17 across the state.
Yeah.
That's big. That's a rear end kick in there, you know, there on that.
That was a big win for Trump, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, in the last couple minutes, what we've got here, let's talk about Missouri in general. The budget here, and I think it's $35 or $36 billion. Your take on that real quick.
That's insane. The inflation, everything. I can remember when I first got on the committee, kind of got involved in politics, the state budget was $9 billion, and we thought that was a lot of money.
Well, very recently, it was in the mid-20s, far as $25 billion, $27 billion.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, it was 35 and 36. The last couple of years, just astounding how it's jumping up there.
Yeah, and with Medicaid expansion being forced on the state, you know, we may find ourselves in a position like Illinois and California can't pay our dang bills.
Well, and that's true, too. And you hear a lot of people talk about Medicaid, and they say, well, we're getting funds from the federal government. What if those funds don't come? Then what do you do?
Yeah,
well, Missourians are on the hook for that.
I think some of it's supposed to start phasing out. We got to carry more of the load as the days go, as the years go by.
That's the idea. You know, in successive years, we're supposed to divide up that load.
Right.
Well, Mark, we've got just a minute left, bud. Really appreciate you coming in with us and talking, giving us some perspectives.
Yeah. Oh, I could end the hour with a joke.
Okay.
Do you know the company that makes the yardsticks?
No.
Well, they don't make them any longer.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Ba-doom boom. Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks to everybody out there for listening. KWOS, Saturday morning open air, and Hal Dooley will be back next week. Thank you. God bless.